Primate 16, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shark.
Shot or no shot with Captain J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shark.
Good morning and welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. Time for Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by...
That would be Hawthorne Racecourse and the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Derby Day right around the corner. That's right. Whoever you're going to play, Two Phils is the local horse out at Hawthorne Training. You could do it all on the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. We say good morning to Shay W. Norling. That's with an N. Shay.
Good morning, boys. What is happening to my name? My name is just being turned seven different directions by Cap every morning, though.
You want to answer that, or?
I've got no answer.
I can't get into his head.
Whatever pops into my sordid brain, that's what I do.
I just call you Dub. That's what I call
W.
You. Or W. That's
That was the Will Ferrell play, right? W?
That's right. That's what I call you. I just call you W.
I just spilled my water everywhere.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Would
nice
you keep
job.
It together? It's Monday. Come on now.
It is.
Will Ferrell had a big weekend. See him at the Kings game with his face painted, the LA Kings. The next night, he's all decked out in his jersey at the basketball game.
Wait, the first one was hockey, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I missed that. Go ahead, Shay. Go ahead.
Best.
Your thoughts.
That's awesome. Not right.
Yep.
Awesome.
It's awesome for him to be there. Absolutely. Get out of the house. Go ahead.
All right, boys. Jalen Carter has become...
What? I'm sorry, what?
That you're better than that.
Yeah, no, better than you.
Oh.
Shay.
Jalen Carter has become the odds-on favorite to be selected by the Bears at number 9. Most sports books posting Jalen Carter plus 300 odds. That is the favorite at number 9. It is the best odds you can get on him anywhere in the draft. Back in January, before all the off-field stories came out about Carter, we talked about him, and he was talked about as the top prospect in the draft and the likely pick for the Bears at number 1.
Yes.
Now they've traded down 8 picks, and he's still the favorite to go to the Bears at number 9. Shot or no shot in terms of value, this would be a home run for Ryan Poles.
That's no shot. It's not no shot. I have my serious concerns. And maybe he'll turn out to be the next Warren Sapp and go to the Hall of Fame. And maybe he won't. I wouldn't roll the dice. I wouldn't take the chance. So, no, it would not be a home run.
That's a no shot. Not necessarily a home run. But you might be a home run for someone else, Cap. And, again, I'm willing to tip my cap and say, you know what, nice job for the other team. I got to do what's best for the Chicago Bears, though. I mean, that's all I could do. Now, once I'm fired in the job, I can look back at the draft and say, boy, you know, I missed on this guy, I missed on that guy. But in the moment, yeah, do what's best for you.
I just want him to get a really good player. Seriously. Just, wow. They got a building block right there. Whoever that is. I'm hoping it's Darnell Wright at right tackle, but we'll see.
Bijan Robinson.
Can't take guys like that at 9. Not when you got all these freaking holes.
Oh, man. I just want to see.
Can't take a running back at 9.
I just want to see your face at Soldier Field.
If you tell me he's on the board at 28 and they traded up a couple picks to get him, okay, whatever. He's a good player, man. Really talented. 9?
I just want to see you explode and see just how you handle that in the general public.
All right. I got Bijan Robinson.
No, that's terrible. Just you, just exploding.
Everybody. I'll be on that stage at Soldier Field Thursday night.
Oh, no.
Cap, we're bringing Ryan Poles over. You got 3 minutes with him. We welcome in Bears GM Ryan Poles. A running back?
Oh, my God.
Really?
Well, Cap.
What about building through the line?
Oh, I don't know if that's... Yeah. I know what you're saying.
Cap asking Poles questions through gritted teeth.
Oh, I
can't
wait.
With the Bijan Robinson selection.
Now, I'm hoping. Now, we're all hoping. Cap and I agree that we're hoping for the best. However, something in me just wants to see how Cap handles that in front of the general public at Soldier Field.
I don't like it.
Ah! Take me home.
Excuse me, Cap. Yeah, Brandon Faber from Media Relations would like to talk to you.
Yeah? Yellow.
He and Scott Hagel are not happy with you.
Because we all know that that's not what the Bears really need.
No. Everyone needs great players. I get it.
It's funny.
No, not taking a running back at 9. Sorry.
Shane Orley.
All right, despite the 7-3 loss to the Dodgers on Sunday, the Cubs are keeping a positive attitude. They competed well against the Dodgers at home. They split the season series with the Dodgers. And Marcus Stroman added that, quote, on any given day we can beat anyone. We're right where we need to be. Shot or no shot, he's right.
Well, that's a no shot. Can't say that after this series. You just got to keep it moving, man. Don't say anything. Get through the San Diego Padres, another formidable team that spent a lot of money. Just keep it moving. Everybody wants to be Dylan Brooks. Okay, you just don't try to, you know, outsmart the room by telling you how big and bad you are. Just play the games. You know how we can tell if you're big and bad? Play the games and win. How about that? Don't worry about it. And it's April.
Shay, read the line again.
On any given day, we can beat anyone. We are right where we need to be.
He's exactly right. We've got veterans. We've got chemistry. We lost to a really good Dodgers club.
Who'd you play?
The Dodgers.
Oh.
I love L.A.
Oh, that team.
And I'm just telling you, this club is way better than all of us gave them credit for. They have absolutely got talent.
Uh-huh.
They've got a wave of good young players in the system coming. And the next few years are going to be a special time on the north side of Chicago.
April 24th, you're right where you want to be.
Yeah. We could be 8-15.
Yeah. Oh, well, again, what does that really say?
They're showing signs of life, and people are excited watching them play. They lost yesterday. Okay.
No,
they lost to a really good team.
Now, not just yesterday. No, you didn't. Just yesterday. You lost 3 out of 4 to the Dodgers. It wasn't just yesterday. Don't couch it as a one-off. You lost against a better team and a better organization at this point in time.
There's no question they're a better team and a better organization than the Cubs are right now.
I don't make that comment, though, until we go a little bit deeper into the season. I don't know. Can we get to June 1st? July, maybe? I mean, you got to find out if you're on a roll. No championship is won in April.
When the question
But championships can be lost in April.
No question.
35th and Vec.
Correct.
You could do that, too.
David, how do you feel about where you're at right now? We're right where we want to be. We're playing good baseball. We've got a really nice team, and we're going to keep trying to stack W's. That's it.
That's all you can do. Win series.
That's it.
Yep.
That's the first series they lost after winning 5 straight.
Mm-hmm.
So they lost the first series of the year to the Brewers, and I don't think they lost a series till this weekend.
That's correct.
So
now I'll take on the Padres.
Another tough, formidable foe. But then you go to Miami.
There's certain games in the schedule, a certain series in the schedule that you just try to figure out how you can measure up. That's all.
Just keep going.
Yep.
Check.
All right, on Friday, the NFL suspended 5 players, including Lions receiver Jameson Williams, for gambling. Full season indefinite suspensions were issued for players who were found to be betting on NFL games. That included Lions Quintez Cephas and C.J. Moore. Both players, for what it's worth, were immediately released by the Lions. Williams got a 6-game suspension for gambling on non-NFL games, but he was doing it in the facility. There's no bones about it. Very stupid decision by Jameson Williams, but a lot of people are saying it's kind of a stupid rule. Shot or no shot? This rule needs to be changed.
Okay, so Cap, on the surface,
mm-hmm.
You and I both got a chuckle when we found out that sporting leagues, are involved in the gambling space.
Mm-hmm.
After all these years, can't gamble on the sport. You can't, I mean, look at Pete Rose, can't gamble. All of a sudden, things are sponsored by DraftKings and MGM here, and all the commercials are filled with, you know, with gambling and sports gambling. So for a player, if it's in their CBA, if it's in the building where you can't gamble, then that's the rules.
And they signed off on the rule. You cannot have any hint of impropriety going on in the facility. And if you can't live by those rules, then turn in your playbook and go home. No, they're not changing the rule. You can't have guys sitting in the locker room going, hey, who are you parlaying tonight? No. You want to do that stuff at home, that's your business. And you can't bet on the NFL.
Now, Shay, you could see clearly the inconsistency of you can't gamble, but we can get money from gambling if you're the NHL, NBA, NFL, you know, Major League Baseball. But if it's in the contract that you can't gamble. You can't gamble. Well, simple as that.
The thing that I think is odd about it is, like, I get you can't bet on NFL games, and I'm not even saying they should change the rule, but there is an obvious hypocrisy because the league makes a ton of money off of gambling.
Sure.
Just to say, like, if you go across the street, you can bet on whatever you want, but you can't do it when you're in the building. Like, are we supposed to believe that they're also not playing cards on the team plane?
Playing cards is different. You're not gambling on sports.
But what's the difference? Because you're not gambling on an event that you're partaking in. Like, if Jameson Williams wants to bet a baseball game or an NHL game or whatever from the Lions facility, why do I care?
What percentage of athletes do you think gamble? For real? 30%?
More than that.
70%.
Yeah, I'm with Jay Moore. I mean, they gamble on card games on the plane. Who was the guy? We were just, you and I discussing this within the last several months, where he would get on the plane. He said the young guys would have Louis Vuitton or Gucci bags with $250,000 in cash. NBA players.
Mm-hmm.
You remember this. And they, by the end of the flight, he had cleaned them out.
Is that Kendall Gill telling that story? Or
no, it was more recent. I'll look it up. I'll find it. But there's a difference playing in a card game on the plane and sitting in the team facility betting on sports gambling. You can't do it.
That's just the dumb of the dumb, by the way. You can't go anywhere else. Can't you go in the crib and do that? You went to the crib, it would be a problem.
Dude, just walk across the street. Get off the Wi-Fi and place the bet. Like, that's where I make no bones about it. Very dumb decision to do this in the facility. But I also think the rule itself is a little hypocritical. And there is, like, again, very dumb, but I think you do have a little bit of a gripe in going, like, if we can play cards and bet with each other on the plane, which is a team facility, I would think, why can't we do it? Like, if it's the, why can't we bet on a hockey game from Hallis? I just don't see why that's the rule. I get it. I get no gambling, especially at NFL events. But why do I care if Darnell Mooney wants
They're
to bet
on
hockey?
They're not asking you to care. They don't want gambling in the facility, period. And the players overwhelmingly agreed with this, like 90-some percent. So,
Cap, these commissioners will be mortified if they really found out how many of their athletes in a particular sport are gambling. They'd be mortified because that would build into the narrative that, hey, that game looks fixed. That game doesn't look right.
Yeah, but they're not I'm not saying no one is, but they're not gambling on their own team or on the NFL because that security staff, they're really good. But my question is, okay, I'm the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, and you're my friend.
Yes.
We went to school together. Yes. We hang up, but you're not in the NFL. You're an insurance guy.
Yep.
Hey, man, let's play some parlays together. You put the bets in. Not me.
Right.
Just tell me what I owe you.
Right.
Why would you go on your phone where they can track your action?
Silly. Yeah, just not thinking at all. This is the outline of you going back to coaching and Mindy putting the bets in for you.
Correct.
That's not your phone.
Correct. I'm not going to be sitting in. Hang on with the. Pause the film a minute. Hey, I just heard Loyola Marymount's point guard is out tonight before the line moves. Mindy, put this play in. Yes. Yes. -3. Lay the points.
It's so funny that you bring up the before the line moves, because that was my first thought when I saw the suspension come across. Like, Jameson Williams, really, I got to get ahead of the line movement in Celtics-Hawks tonight. Got to bet this before I leave the facility.
So,
like, well, it's just dumb.
It's so ridiculous, man. So ridiculous. You guys are right. We got Courtney Cronin coming up at 8:35. We'll get her thoughts about the Bears in the draft.
Look forward to it.
But coming up next, we go around the NFL. So much news going on. And by the way, guys, we're at day 40 of Aaron Rodgers supposedly going to the Jets. Day 40.
And so I'll tell you what happened when I was at Lowe's yesterday about the Packers. I find it stunning.
Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, also on 100.3 FM HD2.
Traffic sucks. We all know it. Don't get angry. Get some good with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League right here on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. Still to come, we'll hear from Courtney Cronin, her thoughts about the Bears in the draft at 8:35. But now around the NFL, here's Shane Orling. Shane?
All right, well, we'll start with this. The Packers and the Jets are talking again, much like two lovers who took a break. They're back together. They're having conversations about trading Aaron Rodgers. Ian Rappaport reported over the weekend it's expected, if not today, by Thursday, before the draft starts.
Okay. Cap, I will throw it out there again. This deal takes place before the draft, right?
Yes.
You read Peter King like I did over the weekend? Concerned if this is not done by 12:01 on Sunday.
It'll get done.
Before the draft, right?
It'll get done.
How about draft day? Holy bleep.
That'd be amazing.
So if they take over the draft, like right before the draft, oh, by the way, we have a trade that's in, before Greenberg can even give you the first pick, all of a sudden the Jets have made that deal. Holy cow. But this is before the draft.
The Jets have traded their second round pick in 2023 and a conditional first in 24 for Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. So I'm at Lowe's yesterday. And by the way, shout out to Katie, who is at work right now at Lowe's.
Oh, the Katie the Weather Nerd.
Katie the Weather Nerd. Yes. So listening from work at Lowe's and giggling. If you ever need a staple gun again, the brand Arrow. That's what I bought. Has the size of the staple with the number and size. I'm in Lowe's. I had a Cubs hoodie on. First of all, a guy turns to me. He's like, Cubs? Really? This is Brewers country. Yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
And I said, guess what? I'm also a Bears fan, and we're coming. He said, good. Get that jerk out of here, Rodgers. I said, jerk? He's a top 10 quarterback ever. Hate him. Don't want him back. Okay.
I had a similar experience this weekend.
I couldn't believe it.
We had friends over for my wife's birthday, mm-hmm. and there was a boyfriend who came over who's from Milwaukee. He's a Packers fan, and I was talking to him about it. Then he said, I don't know, Jordan Love might suck, but I just want this guy out of here.
Happy birthday, Kenzie.
Happy birthday, Kenzie.
And great shout-out. Thanks, fellas.
And many, many more. She's the best.
She's a saint to be married to that guy.
No kidding.
Happy birthday. Now you were saying?
No, so I'm having the similar experience to Cap, where I talk to Packers fans about Rodgers and whether they're happy, sad, whatever, what they think of Jordan Love. And pretty universally, everybody I've talked to that is a Packers fan is like, I'm ready for this loser to get out of here. It's crazy to me.
It's not surprising to me because I listen to ESPN Milwaukee. Those calls that come in, even after a win, are not satisfied with the Packers. Now, you and I would be doing jumping jacks for just winning seasons, right? Just with a taste of the playoffs, right?
Agreed.
And so, if nothing else, they're a perennial playoff team. But I understand the Packers lament their disappointment in, we got a great quarterback, but we can never get over the hump. Two championships and two great quarterbacks? I can understand that frustration. Because it's like, yeah, we got them. We're going to have this warm weather team come into our place. We're going to beat their... No, you won't. So long, everybody. We're going to have this dome team out there in the cold of Lambeau. We got... No, you don't. So long, everybody. Time and time again. So I can understand that frustration because you always feel like there's a ceiling on your success. Yeah, we got Rodgers, but he's just a regular season guy. That's the feeling.
Pretty freaking awesome.
I know, Cap, you and I both know that. But you can understand why an average Packer fan would say, we can't win with this guy. That's enough. After all those years.
Yeah, and the fact that they can't wait to get him out of town. Good luck.
And also, you know, you can understand up there, just tired of the drama.
Correct.
Just tired of it.
Correct.
Do you want to be with this? Do you want? So they feel like a jilted lover in a lot of ways.
Exactly.
You get that. Like, you and I, we'll take the winning. More money in the pocket.
Yes. More appearances.
more appearances, more travel, just to be around a successful winning team.
Correct.
But their expectations are much greater up there. Super Bowl championships. That's what they want. You got two. in 30 years.
And they also told me the rumor is that Green Bay may be getting the draft.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. In the next couple years. Hmm. That'd be cool. We'll do the shows from up at the lake. Right around the corner.
Here's Shay Norland.
Shay.
I do have to wonder, Cap, I know that you were talking about if this trade goes down the day of the draft. I hope it happens like in the movie Draft Day, your favorite movie, and the ridiculousness of it. Like Joe Douglas walking into the war room. I just made a trade with the Green Bay Packers, and everybody with bated breath on the edge of their seat like a clown. For what? Aaron Rodgers. That, yeah. Like, can you imagine that's the way it goes down? And then they march the assistant into the room to ask if it fits the salary cap. Like, you made the trade before you knew if it would fit the cap. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful film.
It's an awesome film. Can't wait to watch it like 8 times before Thursday.
Guy hates the real draft, but Draft Day.
See?
I never said I hated the draft. I said I find 95% of it boring.
And a waste of time.
I want to know what the Bears do.
Don't forget about the waste of time.
To sit locked in for 3 days, yeah. Yeah, I love the movie.
Shay.
Oklahoma, I've just seen this. Over the weekend, built Kyler Murray a statue.
Yeah?
Oklahoma has what they call Heisman Park.
Mm-hmm.
They build a statue for all of their Heisman winners. So Kyler Murray is in bronze. Baker Mayfield is in bronze. Sam Bradford is in bronze. And the list goes on. Do we need to build a statue for these guys? I feel like the Heisman and number retirement thing, probably enough.
Okay. I'll say yes to that because that's collegiate. We wouldn't expect that in the pros. Right?
Correct.
To always have, like, your best players always get... I mean, it's not... You know, you don't want to do that for pro players, but for college in Norman, Cap, I mean, hey, one of our guys won the Heisman. Let's put it in bronze. And especially got the money for it, so.
Okay, so if they have a Heisman Park, why would you not have him in there?
Heisman Park is called, right?
Yeah. But I can't believe that they have a Heisman Park. Like, I would certainly maybe retire the numbers, give them something in the stadium. The statue, I feel like you reserve the statue for winning a national championship.
See, Shay's looking at this in pro-colored glasses. You hear this, right, in real time?
Yes.
Like a pro.
100%.
You're looking at this through pro-glass. Because for the college fan, for the Oklahoma fan, that's their guy. Yeah, national championship, absolutely. That's the ultimate goal. But the individual achievement matters in college, too. We can't forget about that, Shay. The Heisman Trophy, if you think it's not as important, it's important to the average college football fan. We talk about who the MVP is in the NBA all the time. Same thing with the Heisman. In that city, in that particular town, because they love Oklahoma, they are exalting their favorites.
Yeah, I've got no issues with this. It's
because it's called Heisman Park.
Exactly.
But Shay, you're looking at it through, because when you say Sam Bradford, I think, ugh. Right? Those guys you just mentioned?
All three of them. Murray. Kyler Murray doesn't have his head on straight. Baker Mayfield stinks. Sam Bradford stunk.
I get it.
But they didn't stink there. And it's their private area. That's the deal.
It means something to Sooners fans. So I get that.
It means something to Sooners boosters.
If it was, well, look, they got enough money to pay for it. Now, through pro-colored glasses, oh my God, why would you have a statue of those guys?
But in college, they were awesome.
I get it. Sure. All right, Shay.
Here's Cap's favorite thing, a mock draft. Football Morning in America, Peter King, I think one of Cap's more likable mock draft guys, put his out. And at number 2, he has Houston taking Tyree Wilson, the edge rusher, out of Texas Tech. Surprisingly here, not a quarterback. Will Levis is now the odds-on favorite to be selected second overall, by the way. But there's still That's this outside unreal. Chance Houston doesn't take a quarterback at all. Does that, to me, that signals they're going to trade for Trey Lance?
Well, Cap's talked about it, and we talked about it on the show, about the possibility of D'Amico Ryan saying, you know what, let's get the best defensive player on the board at 2 and just roll the dice again with Davis Mills.
Right, and feel like, you know what, we'll get our quarterback next year. We're not going to be any good this year.
Yeah.
And we'll worry about next year.
I have to look back. The last time that we went through a draft in the first round, quarterbacks to be taken and teams just holding their nose. When's the last time that happened, Cap, where usually you're excited about, oh, man, here comes a draft, and this quarterback's going to this team. What's it going to look like, right? This group, and I knew this watching college football, it's like, Will Levis, ugh, just terminally average at Kentucky. You'd watch C.J. Stroud, and you're like, okay. But never where it blew my skirt up and just like, oh, my God, wait till I see this guy on Sundays. Never. We'll see, because it all depends on the system he's in and how he develops. But just on the surface, none of these guys are really exciting me in the first round.
Correct. And so he looks, I'm talking about D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio, the two guys in Houston, and go, okay, we love Tyree Wilson. Shea and I walked through the convention center. This dude was doing lunges right next to us. I'm like, who in the H is that? And then we saw him when we were going to try and wait to see Jalen Carter after the radio show.
Yeah.
Tyree Wilson is like a physical specimen, man. Mm-hmm. I put the tape on. That guy plays hard.
As I look around the National Football League, Courtney Cronin will join us on the Bears and the draft. That's next. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Cubs dropped 3 out of 4 against the Dodgers at Wrigley Field over the weekend. It's their first series loss of the season. As the Cubs are off tonight, they'll take on San Diego tomorrow at Wrigley. The White Sox were swept over the weekend in Tampa, falling to 7-15 on the season through the first 22 games of the year. They're currently in fourth place in the Central, looking to bounce back against Toronto. 6:07 first pitch right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The NBA is investigating an incident after yesterday's Celtics-Hawks Game 4, in which DeJounte Murray bumped an official. Murray scored 23 points in an Atlanta Game 4 loss. Also, the NBA will not suspend Dylan Brooks after his ejection for hitting LeBron James in the junk. Game 4 of that series tips off at 9. Jay Moore.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Keep your beak out of this.
Courtney Cronin, National Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
I think you have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Team transcendent quarterback Russ is not this guy. You know, he's very legacy conscious. He wanted to go to Denver and build something and win a Super Bowl there.
Courtney Cronin with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Glad to have you with us here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. I'd like to remind you to check out the ESPN Chicago app. Look for the Chicago Bears podcast with Pat the Designer and crew, Lance Briggs, part of it, and also our guest Courtney Cronin, part of it as well. The Chicago Bears podcast available now on the ESPN Chicago app. Let's go to the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
And Dr. Courtney Cronin, she joins us here on ESPN 1000. We talk about the Bears in the draft. Good morning, Courtney. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm ready for draft week. How are you doing?
Let's do it, Double C. It's a huge generational moment.
You know what, Cap? We should ask Courtney the question we asked the audience in our first hour.
Do you trust Ryan Poles?
Well, that and then like the person that you don't draft, that you would stay away from, remember?
And are you bored by mock drafts?
No, yeah, not asking her all that, no. Courtney, so if you took a look at this draft based on the roster composition for the Bears, is there someone that you would not take at 9 if you're Poles?
Probably not. I mean, this is still a team that's going to be a year away probably from contending for a playoff spot. And that's not a secret from Ryan Poles. He told us earlier this offseason that there are holes on this roster. And I think instead of thinking who you wouldn't draft at number 9, we know where our priorities are, offensive line and defensive line. I think the three of us have the same opinion on that. If there was somebody that they thought was a best player available that might have slipped from the top, where they might have had them on their board during the top 8 picks and they're available to them at 9, I don't think that you can fault the Bears for being in a top 10 draft pick spot for going after the best player available. Like, that to me, just given this team what they need now and what they need long term, you can probably make a case for more than just the immediate needs along the path with your pass rush and along the offensive line with pass protection. But I don't think beyond that there's any case where you'd be like, oh, my God, don't draft this guy. That's a waste of a draft pick.
So I would not take Jalen Carter. Even if he's on the board at 13 and I'm trading down, I'm not taking Jalen Carter. I don't draft guys that don't have a motor. I've asked enough people who have that belief, who are either played in the league, coached in the league, not doing it. Do you think he's on the board at 9 before they trade?
I don't think he's on the board at 9. And, I mean, from people I've spoken with, some of the, you know, that's come up for a couple of different prospects. Darnell Wright, one of those players as well. Like, there's some questions about the, you know, desire and intensity and the whole, like, does he love football question, which I think is always a fun one because everybody's going to have a different answer on that. I said on the show 2 weeks ago, and I'm not going to waffle on it, if he's there at 9, I would take him at 9 because unless something has come out, and it hasn't, because there's enough people doing their due diligence here that if there was more in Jalen Carter's background, we probably would have found out about it about now, not have it be a surprise on draft night. I don't think that, you know, I don't think that the Bears, certainly they're not going to make the pick if they know something and it's just not out there. But I really do feel like the general public, people who are invested in these drafts and how they're going to shake out, would have known by now. But there's like, I was doing an exercise on this recently. Like, there's a chance that, you know, not all hope is lost if they don't get Jalen Carter at 9. And if they do have to go the offensive line route, like, the defensive tackle group is not, like, it's not that deep this year. I mean, the edge rushers are, that's a position that they can probably get at a number of different spots. But I think for this team and where they go from, like, 9 to 53, Mazie Smith from Michigan, a defensive tackle prospect who could be a good fit there at the three technique position. And there are others, Gavon Dexter from Florida, Keanu Benton, like all of those players could fill that sort of role that Bears fans, some might have been eyeing and really hoping for Jalen Carter to be there at 9. But it's not like the Bears have no hope in addressing that position in the first 2 days. And even maybe after, right after the first round pick, that's their next way. That's the next thing that they go with. And I think they'd be okay with that. It might not be the top prospect from an on-field perspective, the way that Jalen Carter has been considered by many, but it could still be somebody who fills a really important need for your defensive line.
So, Courtney, how do you look at this draft? Again, we have to find out on Thursday or over the weekend exactly what the Bears are going to do. Are you hyper-focused on what the Bears do with this first pick or the totality of the draft? Because Cap and I have gone back and forth about how big this pick is in the first round. Is it a big year, or is this a big number one pick for polls?
I don't want to take the cop-out answer here, but I think in totality, because let's think about what he did on day 3 last year when he flipped the second pick from the Chargers. I think there was one that got – they had the one from, like, the Bengals. They had, like, 3 picks that polls flipped going into the last day of the draft into 5 players, and – in those later rounds, you got really big contributions, certainly from, you know, Dominique Robinson played 17 games last year. You got, in the rotational sort of roles. I mean, they weren't huge contributions, but they were there from Tristan Ebner and Elijah Hicks. And, of course, you know, finding a punter and Trenton Gill. That's a penchant. He has a penchant for trading back. So I think when we look at this thing in totality, of course, number 9 is important because when you have a top 10 draft pick, that's somebody you expect to be a franchise player for the next decade, potentially. And you hope that you hit on that. And with an offensive lineman, to be able to find somebody, like, let's use Skoronski, for example, because I picked him in my NFL Nation mock draft. Like, you could get an above average left tackle, or you could get a Pro Bowl guard. And whatever they do with him, that's somebody that they imagine in the fold, not just for the length of his rookie contract, but if all things go according to plan, that's somebody you have for 2 contracts at least in Chicago. And so you got to nail that pick, but you also have to figure out what you can do between 9 and 53 and then 53, 61, and 64 to get immediate contributions out of those guys. They don't have a shortage of needs. They've got needs everywhere, as we've discussed. And so by the end of the weekend, we're going to be looking at the haul that Ryan Poles has if he ends up trading up, if he ends up trading back further at any of the spots, not just at 9, because he and his staff had a really good eye for finding players to bring in that you can build around. And that's what they're going to need to use this draft for again, because they're not going to be in contention for a playoff spot this year. If you look at it realistically, 3 to 7 or 8 wins is a massive improvement. And finding players who can be part of that, then next year you can continue to build around, I think is the right approach.
Chicago Bears select Bijan Robinson, running back, Texas, at 9. What would you say?
They went with the best player available they felt would immediately impact a position. And that would be, I don't know. I know everybody's different on, like, drafting a running back that early and using a first-round pick. I mean, we've learned that you should do that with outside linebackers. That does pay off. But with running backs, I'm always torn on it. But I really think that would boil down to they view that they have such a high grade on this player that it would be a franchise-altering decision if they didn't draft him. And that would be one that, you know, Poles would, you know, toil over for a long time. And if they do that, then they think confidently the offensive line and defensive line needs can be addressed in those three picks that they have on day two.
The master of the French braid hairstyle, Courtney Cronin, with us here. Courtney, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
I didn't do that myself. I had help. So all of us have help when we try to look good.
Can I get that?
Yeah, I'm thinking of going with that with my hair.
I mean, both of you are like literally the worst possible candidates for this. So I don't know what else to say other than no. Okay. I apologize.
Well, I guess she doesn't know the places where I get my weave. That's fine. Courtney, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Courtney.
Thanks, guys. See you, Double C.
All right, Courtney Cronin with us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. It was on an Insta story. I saw it.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom. Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Would you get this surgery? No, no, it's not what you think. Or maybe it is on the Cap'n Jay Hood Show.
Huh? Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Greeny comes your way at 10 o'clock, followed by Carmen Yurko from 12 to 2. Waddle and Sylvie right into fabulous White Sox baseball as they take on the Toronto Blue Jays. Lance Lynn on the mound, 5:30 pregame, 6:10 first pitch right here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000.
Better find a way to win a damn baseball game.
Who?
You! No, your club!
No, no. We're just, as Sox fans, we're just told to
tune in.
We're just here to tune in.
Wake up, get a cup of coffee, and find a way to win a damn baseball game. Let's go.
Oh, no, no.
Enough is enough.
No, no. Just tune in. Tune in.
Wow.
Would you get this surgery? Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
I don't need it.
Leg lengthening surgery is gaining popularity among men seeking to be taller.
Now, hang on. Wait. Whoa. Would you say leg length? What?
Leg lengthening surgery.
Leg lengthening surgery.
Yeah. Okay. A 26-year-old man who had the procedure to increase his height from 5'7 to 5'10 explains what it was like.
Well, what was it like?
He said he did this because shorter men routinely get spoken down to just because of this trait that they can't control. He said he suffered from height dysmorphia, and so he went to get this surgery. It cost $75,000 for a four-hour operation, which is not generally covered by insurance. It involves cutting the thigh bones in each leg and then inserting rods inside them. Then over the next 3 to 4 months, the rods are lengthened by up to 1 millimeter per day via an external remote control. New bone grows over the rods. You have to go through physical therapy, so you learn to walk. He had to use a cane. He had no. You have to regain your mobility.
No.
Like, you have to go through all of that again. And then the final step is an additional $10,000 procedure to have the rods removed with the new bone intact. So you gain all that for 3 inches.
Okay. Cap, let me just tell you something. If you had your druthers, leg or penis in that spot for lengthening?
Oh.
I'm just saying, if you had your druthers, you had a choice. Put that on the poll at ESPN 1000. What would you rather have, the leg lengthening surgery
or the third leg?
Or the third leg. Cap in that spot, what would you do? Go ahead.
Not doing either.
No, seriously. I think,
you got no problems downstairs, Cap? Everything's good.
Everything's good.
Yeah, apparently you could add 3 inches with this surgery.
I mean, seriously.
I'm reading an article about this one dude.
Yeah.
He spent more than $170,000 on two separate leg lengthening surgeries. He went from 5'5 to 5'8 and said, nah, I want to get bigger. He did it again.
He did it again. He did it again.
He said it is excruciatingly painful.
Brother.
But he didn't feel right about himself and couldn't get a woman because he was only 5'5". I'll be happy now at 5'10".
And now he's 6'7".
Yeah. And the Bulls are taking him in the second round.
So, okay.
My God.
How many inches can they add? There has to be a limit to this.
I'd rather go penis in that spot, personally.
Yeah, I'm with you.
If you're going to LinkedIn, I don't need that, obviously, at 6'4". Culturally speaking, I don't need the other thing either. But I just, the idea that it's, and Cap, agree with me on this, please. It's really about confidence, man. If you got to get that surgery, that means you don't have confidence.
Correct. He said he had no confidence about himself.
But you can be that short and still have confidence. You don't have to be a dick, but you could also be just a decent enough guy. I'm short, but I'm a decent guy to everybody.
Correct.
If you're a good guy, it doesn't matter what size you are, right? If you're a good person, and you're a human.
Correct. Britain's National Health Service is advising against it. The operation could result in poor bone formation, bone lengthening at an inappropriate rate, fractures, and blood clots.
See, man, it's not worth it, man. You could just be too sexy. Doesn't matter what size you are.
Yeah. I don't get it.
On my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt.
I don't get it.
So sexy, yeah.
Hey, hon, can you pick me up at the hospital later? Why? What are you doing? I'm getting lengthened. Excuse me?
Yeah, I'm getting legs, some extra height. You trying out for a basketball team?
I'm going to be 6'4".
Oh, my God.
No.
Captain, you know how ridiculous that sounds?
Right.
Just be a good person. Don't worry about the size. You say, well, I'm short, people look down on me. You know what? There's been a lot of short guys that could still be able to take care of their business.
Correct.
You know? Not that business.
Stupidest thing I ever heard of.
It's getting really popular, this Dr. Shahab Mabubian, a surgeon at the height.
Excuse me?
He works on boobs, too? He does
what? A surgeon at the Height Lengthening Institute in Burbank, California, says he expects to do 50 stature-lengthening operations this year, more than double the 20 he did 3 years ago.
There's no need for that, man. Okay, Shay, we're out of the conversation because
Shahad Mabubian.
Yes.
I'm 6'3". I'm tall enough. I'm good.
Jay Moore, we're not in this conversation, but for those that are short, you don't need to do that. I'm going to get more respect because I'm 5'9 now. Now I'm 6 foot. You can still be a jag.
How tall are you? 6'3"?
6'4".
6'4". Yeah. Shay, you're 6'3"? Wow.
In boots.
Yeah. That's right.
6'2".
Louboutins.
You don't need that. So, would you get the surgery?
Hell no.
You have friends that would?
Probably. No.
75 grand's a lot.
Dude, this one guy spent 180-some thousand. And he's 5'10". It's not like he's 6'9 playing for the Bulls now.
Moron.
I wouldn't do that. Absolutely not. But again, it's pretty much a tall show here.
I don't care.
So we wouldn't need
that. Well, not Cap. But Cap, you could rise up to our height.
I don't care.
On my shirt.
Let me be clear. I don't care what people think. I don't. I don't care.
I don't look at you as a small person. I just think you as a person. Just a guy. Friend.
That's it. I'm your friend.
I don't care what tall you. But I mean, for some, they like, I need to be tall because all my associates at work, all my friends are tall, so I got to be tall. Like, you know, I mean, hey, you think about Ken Rosenthal? Not one moment.
Not one second when he's cashing his checks.
Doesn't care.
This article does cite, though, and this probably doesn't work for our business, but in the corporate world, some research suggests there are economic benefits to being tall. A 6 foot person was predicted to earn $166,000 more than a 5'5 person over a 30-year career, a 2004 study found.
Unfortunately, that's flipped on this show. Coming up, we will talk about. I got to reach Cap's plateau, his lofty plateau, financially. I'm still trying to get there. Coming up, our review of the baseball over the weekend. Not good on either side of town. 2 minutes, Cap and J Hood. Here we go.